The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
UFC Fight Night is tomorrow back at the Apex in Vegas. Corey Sandhagen squaring off against Frankie Edgar in the bantamweight co-main. And then Alistair Overeem taking on Alexander Volkov in the heavyweight main event. Prelims start 5 Eastern on ESPN+, followed by the main card at 8.
This is going to be manna from heaven.
We're going to learn you something today.
Danny Amendola is high.
We can turn anything into a segment.
Just keep chopping that wood.
Remember the old expression, no chance taken, no bacon. No stones, no scones.
Y'all got the wrong dude on television today.
No chances, no blintzes.
This is why you're the best in the business.
No heartbreak, no pancakes.
Are you kidding me?
No fun, no sticky bun.
And always wanted to be Troy.
Man, look at the hair.
Sexual chocolate.
I'm distracted by the hair.
Tua Tagovailoa with us live.
I don't watch too much TV.
There is one show you could watch every day between 8 and 10 on ESPN. It's excellent.
Just him being there and being in a bad mood is deleterious to the culture of your team.
Are we just going to ignore the fact that Dominique just said deleterious?
It's not my fault that so many people need to read more.
There's just nothing better than to sum it all up with a reasonable man and a reasonable thought.
You're so sweet, Greeny. Thank you.
Men, it's been good. I'm out.
It has been a fun week for us here. Delighted to have you with us on this Football Friday, the last of this football season. Greeny and Get Up with you, as always, live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are jam-packed in this hour number two. Let's go. It's time to get up with Mr. Mahomes. On the eve of his second Super Bowl, we'll tell you why he's under more pressure than he's ever faced in his career. That's one side. Then on the other, we've got KC's plan to stop a goat in his tracks. It is the best matchup in Super Bowl history, and we're getting it ready. And then, just when you thought this was settled, we will tell you what, where, and why Wentz is still likely to be shipped out of Philadelphia. All that and more as we get up with you in this hour on ESPN and all eyes on that place, the epicenter of the football world, 2 days and counting to Super Bowl 55. The matchup is set, and that's where they will play it. And these two stars will be in center stage. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, a combined 78 passing touchdowns in the regular season. That's the second most in a Super Bowl matchup ever, behind Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson in 2013. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers' pass rush has been led by Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett during the playoffs. They are second and fourth, respectively, in pass rush win rate. Those might be the two most important players on the field. But the pass rush may not matter to Mahomes. Since 2018, he has the highest QBR in the league when pressured. That includes playoff games. It does figure to be the biggest factor as we get ready for Super Bowl 55. And also getting ready for us as we go live down to Tampa, Diana Russini, a crisp 57 degrees this morning as we say good morning to Diana. And you've been covering the Chiefs for us all week long. So let's start with how what everyone's talking about. How is Kansas City preparing for this Tampa Bay pass rush?
Yeah, it's incredible. You have these two gigantic quarterback names, yet we're all talking about this offensive line that the Chiefs is dealing with because it really is the story of the game, Greeny. And what I've learned is they're going to be limiting the amount of times they drop back here, right? It's all about RPOs. They're going to have to be quick. And we can point to Mahomes' mobility all day long, but you guys have been talking all show long about this front four. This pass rush is dangerous. Andy Reid calling them the best front they will face all season long. And Andy Reid also shared some insight as to how they've been coaching this offensive line all season. And Greeny, I haven't heard of this from any other team I cover. They shuffle their guys all along the line. So nobody is set in one position. And the point of this, of course, is to get every guy coached up and ready to play if their name gets called. So we hear that next man mentality all the time, right? Well, the Chiefs do that. They actually prepare that way. So we know they're dealing with all these injuries, the opt-outs. At this point, that next man up attitude, it really is going to apply on Sunday.
it could be critical. I think that's exactly right. And then I was looking at your notes, and there's an interesting story you have on the other side of this. How about Kansas City rushing the passer against the GOAT, against Brady?
The Greeny, you know, sometimes you just step in it. You know, we were talking to the Bucs about this, and we were talking about the Chiefs defense about this, about Brady, right? He's known for standing in the pocket, sometimes a bit statuesque. But at the same time, he's so difficult to bring down. So I asked Frank Clark about it, and he said, you know, have you ever seen this guy's shoulders? And he went on for like a minute talking about how Brady's got this incredible ability to just shimmy and get in and out of all the trouble. And, you know, as every good reporter does, I felt like I needed another source on it. You know, Frank's got great personality. So I went to his teammate, Chris Jones, and I asked him. And I didn't expect him to double down on it, but he gave me even more on Brady's shoulders. He's like, me and Frank, we just sit in the film room and we just watch clips of it over and over. He's as elusive as Deshaun Watson. That's the kind of comparison they're making to Tom Brady in terms of his ability to escape. And they even said, they're like, look, he's not an escape artist. He's not the best at it, but he's got this ability to be real slimy and slippery. And that's what makes it so hard.
Those are fascinating words to use to describe Tom Brady as he was. We'll see if he is slimy and slippery in Super Bowl 55.
Yeah, this,
Diana.
Like this.
Thank you very much, as always. Great to see you. Thanks for getting up early
Thanks,
with us
guys.
Here. Let me bring the rest of the crew in, and they include Dan Orlovsky is with us for the first time this morning. Hello, Danny. And I want to start with you. Well, let's do both of those. Let's start with the Mahomes thing. We brought this up in our first hour today. Mahomes' ability to extend plays with his feet and maybe even his running game, which was such a huge factor last year in the playoffs. When we look at this matchup, how much of a factor in this game do you expect it to be?
Yeah, Greeny, for Kansas City to win this game, Patrick Mahomes will have to play the best game he ever has as a pro. And I know that's saying a lot. The best quarterback in football over the last 3 years will have to play the best game he's ever played for them to win this game. Why? First of all, no team has ever won the Super Bowl, ever, with two backup tackles playing. Kansas City is doing that this week. He's playing against a team in Tampa that is top five in both offense and defense, okay? They're the fourth team in the last 15 years that have gone into the playoffs in top five offense and defense. Two out of the previous three won the Super Bowl. The only team that didn't was Seattle, Russell Wilson's rookie year. So you're talking about an insurmountable task, playing with at least three backup offensive linemen. You know how many of those games you should win as a quarterback? Zero. That's the task that's in front of Patrick Mahomes. So ball's got to come out quickly. He's got to play fast, but not in a hurry. He's got to play really quick, but not panicky. And this is a defense that's generated 41 points off of turnovers. So he's got to be very calculated when he puts the ball in harm's way. We're not talking about this enough. This would be absolutely remarkable for Patrick Mahomes to win this football game.
And so let me talk to the defensive guys here, Marcus. And let me start with Diana was talking about the RPO. They don't have a downhill running game the way Tampa does. They play that run-pass option. So let's give the fans something to look for. When we see that RPO, what is the key for the Tampa defense?
Well, the key is to take away the quick throw first. And I got to give my man D.O., Dan Orlovsky, some credit because Kansas City is more devastating with the pass off the RPO than they are with the run. You can rally late and get Clyde Edwards-Helaire or whoever's in the backfield on the ground. You do not want to allow those easy access throws and then Tyreek Hill is up on your secondary immediately. The second thing is, look, the bottom line, the Bucs can't win this game if they can't win pass rush with four. They won't win this game. And we've talked about the backup offensive linemen. They should be able to. Some really good football players up there. But if we are watching this game and Patrick Mahomes has time to get this ball downfield, he has time to figure out what he wants to do within the pocket, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to walk away with a ring. Now, I'm interested to see. Casey Rogers is the D-line coach in Tampa. He was my D-line coach when I was a rookie in Dallas. These dudes on this D-line will be ready to play. They'll have a plan to cover for each other. You know how much I stress the D-line being in sync and replacing each other when a guy decides to take a double move or go underneath inside. So it'll be there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If they can't do it with four, they won't win the Super Bowl.
Well, it's interesting because Sal Palantonio told us earlier all five of their sacks against Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago came when they just rushed four guys. Bart, let me go to the other side of Diana's report to you. You played against Tom Brady a whole bunch of times. How would you describe his shoulders? Right. And do you expect him to be slimy and slippery in the pocket against Kansas City?
Well, I think what they're talking about is his ability to step up and step out and buy time. If the perimeter's around him is, you know, starting to get a little shaky, and it's going to be important that they don't really go with this seven-man drop because that puts him in harm's way. You know, I think a good five-step drop, allow him to climb up in the pocket and step out. He's really crafty and nifty when you talk about that. But, you know, the key has always been to get Tom Brady off his spot with interior pressure. Now, you get that in different ways. A lot of times you might want to consider putting Frank Clark over the guards to get instant pressure using his quickness, but you also have to run some line games as well. But the key is on the back end. With Tom Brady, what we always try to do was play two-man and make sure that he has no easy throws, and he had to throw into tight windows, and if anything was errant and not on target, you have an opportunity to get an interception. So it's going to be key, you know, for guys to see if he throws up the 50-50 balls. You have to make sure that you make Tom Brady pay when you have that opportunity.
All right, outstanding, guys. I'm going to leave it here for the moment. We have so much more to come, a full hour as we get you ready for Super Bowl Sunday on this Football Friday edition of Get Up. Coming up, how a Week 12 loss to the Chiefs helped turn everything around for Tampa Tom and the Bucs. We'll be diving into that coming up next. Plus, just when you thought this was settled, we'll tell you what, where, and why Wentz is still likely to be shipped out of Philadelphia. That's on the way. And we want to know what you think. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Simplest of questions, who's going to win? Chiefs, Bucks, who you got? We'll keep the voting going through radio today, ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we have another full day of college basketball across all our networks tomorrow, highlighted by Carolina Duke at 6 Eastern. Then you're going to get Tennessee and Kentucky. Both games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app, so you can watch from anywhere. All right, as you are probably aware, Super Bowl 55 is a matchup of a game that was played in Week 12, where you had Mahomes and Brady, the Chiefs and the Bucs. At the end of the first quarter, the Chiefs already had a 10-0 lead, and they were looking to add more. Tyreek Hill, who had over 200 yards in the first quarter, finished with 269 and 3 touchdowns as Kansas City opened up a huge lead. Middle of the second quarter, it was 17-0. Mahomes went back and he gets hit. Bear in mind this play, hit by Shaq Barrett. It's a fumble. They would go the other way. Ronald Jones would score a touchdown on the next drive. It became a game. And just over 4 minutes to play, the Bucs were only down by 10. Looking to get back in striking distance. It's Brady. It's Mike Evans. That's a touchdown. Brady would throw for 345. It was a three-point game. With just over a minute left, Kansas City was looking to run out the clock, and they do it as only they do it. No other team would run that play when they were looking to run out the clock, but they do. Mahomes threw for 462 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks, and the Chiefs win. But since that game, Tampa Bay has not lost. In fact, these teams are first and second in the NFL in points per game and yards per game, and in the top 10 in points and yards allowed. And since that day, Tom Brady has been hit just 13 times in those 7 games. So let me bring it back out to the crew here. We all remember that day, and I remember coming in here Monday, Dan Orlovsky, and talking about it at length. Why have the Buccaneers not lost since then?
They went back in time. They remembered that Tom Brady's the best pre-snap quarterback in the history of football. And they realized that as much information as they could give him was going to benefit their football team. That's why they've gone to using so much pre-snap motion. This is actually the best team in football, in the NFL, when it comes to using motion and the success of a play. And Brady uses that motion to figure out what the matchup that he wants is, to gain some matchup that is going to be more advantageous for his receivers, to change the formation. They've gone to protecting him. That's also a big part of it, too, is the play-action pass. But when they use that motion, all they're doing is allowing Tom to predict rather than guess. Oh, you're in this coverage, and I know that defender out there doesn't have any responsibility. He can blitz. So I want my offensive line to be a part of my protection. You guys go to him. That's part of why he hasn't been hit. And so it was really smart by Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians to go, okay, we're going to take a step back. and we're going to let the best quarterback ever, when it comes to owning the line of scrimmage, own the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's important as a reminder. They had as late a bye as you can have. They had their bye week right after that game, as we mentioned. So that extends the amount of self-scouting they can do, and they have remade the offense a little bit. So, Marcus, if you're preparing for this game as Kansas City's defense, how much do you take from that one? How different is this challenge going to be from what it was on November 29th?
Well, one, you know, you don't expect your receiver to have, as a defense, you don't expect your receiver to have 200 yards in the first half. That's number one. The second thing is, when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs has done defensively, when you think about what they've been able to do, and then you think about the Bucs, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. The Bucs have literally taken over in the playoffs. We talk about scoring on defense so much, but we miss the ability to put your team in scoring position. And we know that the plays that's been made, especially against Green Bay, not only the turnovers, but the red area, the red zone, being able to keep teams out of the end zone. The bottom line is this. Like, the last time we saw the Chiefs lose a game, the Raiders put up 40 points. And the Raiders' defense pressured Patrick Mahomes 28 times with a four-man rush. With a four-man rush. They pressured him 28 times. That's going to have to show up for this Tampa Bay defense in order for them to get it done. And they can get it done. That is the only example this year that we have of the Kansas City Chiefs losing a football game. An offense playing well and a defense being able to not sacrifice coverage in order to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And that was the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. It's the only game they've lost. Again, Kansas City won the Super Bowl last year, and they're 17-1 this year, including the playoffs. And Dan Graziano, as we look back on that matchup when these teams played each other in November, I know your memory of it is painful and personal.
You know, the guy I was playing in fantasy that week had Tyreek Hill. I'm in Foxborough covering some terrible Patriots game, and I'm looking up
tough
at the
break,
screen
guy.
Like, that's got to be a replay, right? Like, there's no way that he just threw it to Tyreek Hill again, and he went the entire length of the field. So you would hope, for Tampa Bay's sake, that the scars from that game have helped them get to a point where they feel like they can fix whatever went wrong. Because, I mean, look, Tyreek Hill's on the film. It's not as if that they went into that game not realizing he was on the Chiefs. But maybe the fact that he burned them that badly, that often, has helped them ahead of this game to at least devise some kind of plan to slow it down. Maybe only 100 yards in the first quarter this time instead of two, and then you're ahead of the game.
I will say this. Graziano got called out in the meeting this morning because he started a defense against Kansas City that weekend. So it wasn't just Tyreek Hill who beat you, but you started a defense against Kansas City.
Sometimes it's just not your year. I mean, sometimes you get put in bad spots and it's just not your year. That's what happened. Next year.
It serves you right. Okay, we'll take a quick break as we continue. Now, there is a non-Super Bowl story to get to today. The Eagles have a new coach. They have a new direction, but their quarterback doesn't seem to be on board. Could he still be on his way out? We're getting to the bottom of that. And it is time for our Mano a Mano showdown. Sneaky Hembo against Graziano. Here's today's question. Which is the last Super Bowl champion to have a losing record the following season? That's the question. The answer is next. This is Get Up on ESPN. Graziano looks confused.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, here we go. I couldn't read Graziano's face. I don't know if he thinks he knows it or not. Which is the last Super Bowl champion to post a losing record the following season?
You know, people don't realize because the rivalry and whatever, Hembo and I are friends. Like, I like him. We text. We work together on stories. Like, I try to help the guy. I said, look, I'm good on Super Bowl stuff. You don't want to do Super Bowl stuff all week because I'm going to get it right. The last Super Bowl champion to post a losing record the following season was the Buccaneers, which is why it has a connection to this game, and that's the answer. So hopefully for Hembo's sake, next week, it's not Super Bowl stuff anymore.
My goodness.
And he can get back on the winning track.
Not only did you get it right, but you're patronizing him as well in your commentary. That was the most patronizing commentary I've ever heard attached to a question. Let the record show that the Broncos of 1999 were my guess, and they were the second most recent. Graziano is dominating Hembo. It's just as simple as that. All right, coming up, the Bucs are absolutely loaded. So why aren't they the favorites in this game? We'll answer that question right after this.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Lift every voice and sing.
The only man to ever win a Super Bowl and an Olympic gold medal, Bullet Bob Hayes was declared the world's fastest human in 1964. The following year, he was named NFL All-Pro in his rookie season with the Cowboys.
Counting down the hours now to Super Bowl 55 in that building, Tampa, Florida. We're keeping a close eye on the weather. That could be a factor. And we're keeping a close eye on some of the players whose names are not Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. Who else might be a sneaky, interesting pick for MVP of this Super Bowl? Well, Mahomes' top two targets, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, are both huge threats. Kelce was second this regular season in the whole league in receiving yards. Hill has the second most in the playoffs. A running back hasn't won the award since Super Bowl 32, but keep an eye on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Leonard Fournette. Fournette has 211 rushing yards and two touchdowns in these playoffs. And, of course, Brady has big-time receivers as well. Mike Evans, 13 touchdowns this year. Chris Godwin has 223 yards receiving during this postseason. So all of those guys are worth keeping an eye on as we bring the crew back in here. And Dan Orlovsky, as we look for one thing to keep a close eye on early in this game, I'm going to go around the horn on that. I'll start with you. I know you have some tape. As the fans sit down to watch this game, what's one thing they should be keeping their eye on?
How Tampa Bay's defense, really their second level, defends the RPO. You know, one of the reasons why the RPO, the run-pass option for Kansas City's offense, is so difficult to stop is it really forces, like, defenders to have to play counterintuitive to everything that they've heard their whole life when it comes to playing defense. They've got to play with this term, slow to go, okay? This is what it has to look like. You got zone away and those slants behind you as a defender. Now, watch this linebacker. At the ball getting snapped and Patrick Mahomes staring at him, he's got to play pass first, run second. Normally, we see those linebackers fly. This is where you have to play slow to go. You got to force that ball to get handed off. Trust that that defensive line will hold up, and then you have to explode with conviction towards the football as a second level player. And so as a defensive guy, you're always taught, like, stop the run, react to pass. Stop the run, react to pass. Their thought process has to be slow to go. Stop the pass, react to run. And it'll be interesting to see how early on they do that as a second level defense.
Ah, it's really interesting, and the linebackers there are so good. That's great. Marcus, to you, what is one thing to keep a close eye on early in this game?
Yeah, it's this defensive line matchup as a whole, but specifically JPP and Mike Remmers, because they had smoke this week when they were talking about this game. And obviously, we know what's important for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, and it's to get to the quarterback. This is when your stars show up. JPP is known as a guy that can get after the passer. Obviously, Shaq Barrett on the other side. And it won't be JPP and Mike Remmers all game long. But when they do find each other, I'll be interested to see who's winning that matchup because they built up to this point. Remmers understands what giving up sacks to defensive ends feel like in the Super Bowl and how impactful it is. And he's learned from that situation. So I'm interested to see how he responds having to block another really good pass rusher.
Yes, he's stepping in for Eric Fisher, who missed only 18 snaps all season long, all of those in the AFC Championship game after he tore his Achilles against Buffalo. Bart, what do you have your eye on? One thing you're watching closely as this game gets underway.
Well, I'm watching Devin White and Levante David and how they choose and decide to bracket and double team Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is the guy that keeps the chains moving. He's the heart and soul, I believe, of that offensive line. And if you can keep his numbers down, his productivity down, I think you have a great chance of winning the game. But you know you can't put that responsibility on one man, so you got to bracket him. And when he's in the short side of the field, you know, sometimes you change your leverage as a defensive linebacker and make sure that you set traps and maybe let the corner fall off his man and see if you can get, you know, Mahomes to throw you one. But you can't come with conventional coverages if you're going to have success, consistent success against Travis Kelce.
Okay, again, all the stars on the field in the biggest game of the season. Daniel, why are you shaking your head?
If Todd Bowles decides to cover Travis Kelce with Levante David and Devin White, I'm going to absolutely crush him on television Monday morning. Now, there's no way that those guys are going to be playing them in coverage. They got to bring safeties. They got to play coverage with safeties and corners.
Man, you have no clue.
Do not
Dan,
cover
Dan,
that guy
Dan,
with linebackers.
Dan. Nope. I'm going against Tony Gonzalez. I'm going against Grubb. We know how to stop those type of players. You do it with bracketing him and getting physical at the line of scrimmage. If you bring that safety down, you're going to have one-on-one coverage against maybe Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins. And those are going to be an easy, a quick death, not a slow death. You can confuse him by hitting him at the line of scrimmage, changing your leverage, and making sure that you have your partner with you. These aren't just your typical linebackers. These
not
are guys
linebackers
that can play in space. You saw what he was
They're
able
to do.
Bro, I am a linebacker. I know exactly how you defend a guy like Travis Kelce.
Yes,
Greeny. You name a tight end, a great one. I'll show you how me and Ray Lewis shut him down.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Let me take over the hosting duties. Dan, go.
Now, listen, you do not cover Kelce with these linebackers are great.
Get your coffee.
Do
G.
not cover them with these two. Bart, it's different. You're talking Ray Lewis.
It's two of them.
In coverage. Travis Kelce is
bro.
He's too good of a route runner.
Okay,
against these
he's
guys.
The Tony. He's the Tony Gonzalez of our this day. So much how Bill Belichick used to attack Tony Gonzalez by putting brackets on him, putting a guy on each shoulder, he can't get out. You definitely don't want to put, you know, a safety down there. You want to confuse him at times, but when you put that safety down there, you're saying it's one-on-one coverage against a man who had 200 yards on you in the first quarter. You beat him up at the line of scrimmage. JPP comes to the
you
party.
Can still,
everybody
you can still
gets
double team
everybody's
him.
Everybody's putting.
You can still double team him with safeties.
Marcus, let me get you. Get you in
let
on
me
this
tell you something. It's one person. It's one person on this show that has been top number one in defense over six times out of his 11-year career. So I understand, you know, how you stop guys like that because I've been there, done that.
Fair enough. Look, I like the passion of it, Marcus. You have a quick thought.
I just want to tell him, G, like you say all the time, we're going to go to break whether you guys continue talking or not.
Actually, in this case, see, Marcus, he's the best. In this case, we're actually going to go to Wentz whether you guys stop talking or not because I want to hear what you have to say about it.
That won't be passionate.
We have a non-Super Bowl story that requires some attention. Carson Wentz, less than 2 years removed from signing the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history, now has a future very much in doubt in Philly after being benched for Jalen Hurts earlier this season. And all of the thinking was, the conventional wisdom, Graziano, was that the Eagles had done everything this offseason to sort of build it back up around Wentz. They fired the head coach. Everything seemed to be going in that direction. But it feels like he still wants out. So what's going on now?
Yeah, we haven't heard anything to dispute Chris Mortensen's reporting from last month about Wentz wanting out. And look, when teams call the Eagles are still saying they don't want to trade him. They plan on having him on the team in 2021. But I don't know whether, I mean, I guess it's skepticism around the league, other teams and other people around the league who feel like ultimately the Eagles will change their minds and do this if they get the right offer for Wentz? Obviously, they're going to be looking for as much as they can, ideally a first-round pick. If there are multiple teams out there interested, they may get an offer that pushes them to do it. But right now, when teams call, the Eagles are saying, we still plan on keeping him. That could be a negotiating position. And ultimately, there is a belief around the league that at some point they might change their minds and decide to move on from him and trade him.
Oh, so, Dan, I perceive you to be close to the situation, if only, you know, because we've talked about it so many times. This feels like a bad look for Carson Wentz because it feels like they've done everything that you would assume he would have wanted and he still wants out. Are we seeing that correctly? And if so, what does it tell us?
Yeah, I think he wants out of Philadelphia. You know, I don't think it was necessarily like he wanted away from Doug Peterson. I just think the city and the organization have worn him out. Does that make him soft or weak? Maybe, but he's just not. I think he's sitting back and going, I'm not cut to be a part of this organization. I'm not cut to play in this city. It's a phenomenal city, but it takes a very specific person to play that role. Donovan McNabb probably did it better than anybody. I think the reality is this, Greeny. Carson Wentz has made the determination that for the future of his football career and the health of his football career, he wants to get away. I do believe that teams are going to try and trade for him. I do believe he's worth a first-round pick. You know, like, look at 2017 to 2019, okay? This guy threw for 81 touchdowns and 21 interceptions. That's one of the best three-year stretches we've seen at that position. And I know people like to, like, say because he's an easy target, like, he can't play or whatnot because he's had this down year, no doubt. But you mean to tell me if you're a team like Indy or Chicago or even Pittsburgh who has a later first-round pick, you have to sit there and go, is that late first-round pick more valuable to us right now or in the future than taking a quote-unquote shot or a flyer at Carson Wentz? I'd ask him four questions. What did you learn from this year and this experience? Can you be great again? Why should I believe you? And what do you need to make that happen? If you can get those four questions answered the way you want, then it's absolutely worth the first-round pick in Carson Wentz.
So, Marcus, I just to sort of wrap it up with this, how will teams look at that? How do you look at it? If indeed it really is just the city's, I'm going to use this, too tough for him, like, what do you make of that?
Gee, it's alarming to me because the game is tough. Situations in this league are going to arise that are not favorable, especially at the quarterback position. You're going to get all of the scrutiny and you're going to get all of the praise depending on what you're doing. So Carson Wentz has to recalibrate. He has to redefine how he approaches being a quarterback in the NFL because it's not going to be great all the time. It's not going to be successful all the time. And for these ebbs and flows and the things that we've heard, the things that we've talked to players about, the things that we've listened to people that are very close to this organization and people within that organization, it's been Carson Wentz has seemed to not be able to handle and function under scrutiny, under things not going the way that he think they should go. So that should be alarming for teams around the league. But the talent is there. Like, can you, to Dan's point, are those things going to be fixed if we move towards you being our starter for the future? I know for me, based on the things that I've heard from players and people that have talked about this situation in Philly, I would absolutely have to get that ironed out. And really the only way is to see how Carson Wentz approaches playing football on the field. Does he compete? Is he trying to get himself back to being the guy he was in 2017? Only way you prove in this game is on the field. And then all of the other stuff taking care of itself by being a good dude and everybody being able to gravitate to you as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, look, when the expression is when the going gets tough, the tough get going. They don't mean it literally.
Absolutely.
So we'll see if that winds up working out that way or not. All right, as we continue in just a moment here, it is the GOAT versus the kid. Is it the greatest matchup of quarterbacks in the history of the Super Bowl? We've got an opinion on that, and you'll hear it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, get your weekend started tonight with our big NBA Friday doubleheader. Raptors in Brooklyn to take on the Nets at 7:30 Eastern. Then Jason Tatum and the Celtics continue their West Coast swing in L.A. against Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our Seaport studios. This is Greeny. Get up on ESPN. We're with you commercial free for the next almost 13 minutes. And then it's time for First Take. They'll take over at the top of this hour. And they'll answer this question. Will a win in the Super Bowl make Tom Brady the greatest winner in team sports history? Stephen A., Max, and Molly. They'll be joined by Derrick Henry. It's First Take at the top of the hour. Again, we're with you commercial free from now until then. So earlier this month, on my radio show, I listed my green list of the top five greatest quarterback matchups in Super Bowl history, and here's how I went. At number five, Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, Super Bowl 44, who currently rank first and third, respectively, in passing yards in NFL history. We know that Brees won the game. At number four, I had Brett Favre and John Elway, Super Bowl 32. Favre looking for the repeat. Elway had other ideas, finally won his first Super Bowl championship. Number three, Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach, in part because they met in two different Super Bowls, Bradshaw and the Steelers winning both, two of the four he would win in his career. At number two, Dan Marino and Joe Montana, Super Bowl 19. Montana coming away with the win. It was the only Super Bowl Marino would ever play in his career. And then at number one, despite a lot of people yelling at me for it, I put this game, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. This is the first ever Super Bowl between the last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. It is the GOAT against the man who would be king. To me, this is the greatest Super Bowl matchup that we have ever had. And so, Marcus, I want to come to you on that thought. A year ago on this show, on this day, actually, it was a year ago today, the Super Bowl Friday, we were all getting together in Miami on this show. You suggested Mahomes could wind up the GOAT. So do you think this is the best Super Bowl quarterback matchup ever?
Yes. Not even close, G. Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the history of this league. And those players you just mentioned are some of the best to ever do it at the position. We about to watch a quarterback playing in his 10th damn Super Bowl, going for number seven. And we watching a quarterback in his first 3 years that has done what no quarterback has ever done in the NFL. We got two opposite situations with how they play, but they both impact the game in a major way. Both teams are there because of their quarterbacks and the ability for them to galvanize the guys around them, even matriculating on the defensive side of the football with how those guys play as well. And not one of these guys in this game you feel like is not going to deliver if they have the ball in their hands the last time. So, yeah, I love everything about it. But look, the fact that Tom Brady is in this game, if he was playing by his damn self, you could make an argument that this is the greatest quarterback matchup ever. But the fact that Patrick Mahomes is trending where he's going, and the fact that we know that Tom Brady is the greatest to ever play the position in this league's history, you are absolutely right about this being the best matchup ever in the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady is a guy who once threw for 500 yards in a Super Bowl in which his team did not punt and lost. I mean, there is no Super Bowl legacy and history like his. Bart Scott, what do you think? Best matchup ever?
I believe so. I mean, it's weird to talk about Tom Brady still being in his prime. Now, he's not what he's, you know, at his peak, but it's been very little decline. And you look at, you know, like Marcus said, when you think about who has the ball last, you know, that could determine the outcome of this game. You talk about two very evenly matched, you know, teams as well, balanced on both sides, coached very well. You know, both have the ability to put up tremendous numbers, but both teams have the ability to stifle you with their defense and get hot. So it's going to come down to who's going to make the big plays. You know, you talk about the NFC Championship, you know, one coach deciding to kick a field goal, the other one giving their quarterback the ability to make the play with Scott Miller at the end of the game. So who's going to make the big plays and who's going to dare to be great? And it always comes down to coaching decisions in these big games, who made the right call and who didn't. And we only know until the final seconds off the the clock. So I think this has the ability to be a tremendous instant classic.
Yep, all the makings is a phrase I like to use, and it applies here. Graziano is one who chronicles this stuff. It feels like there should be a torch, right? Like a literal torch on the sideline that someone is holding, and either Brady passes it or he doesn't. All right, it sort of feels like that's the storyline of this game.
I think it will be one way or the other, right? I mean, that's kind of a top-level storyline, either not so fast kid or torch being passed. I mean, look, I was all in on this as the greatest Super Bowl matchup until a few minutes ago when I saw Scott versus Orlovsky. But I think as long as that's not going to happen again on Sunday, I think we can definitely say that this has potential, you know, historically, entertainment value-wise. I mean, look, this it's exciting. And I think, you know, to borrow a phrase, I can't wait.
Yes, that's right. The more I think about it, the more I think we should do it. Someone should have like an Olympic style, you know, like a torch just there. And Brady's got it at the beginning of the game. And by the end, he either takes it with him or he's got to give it to Mahomes one way or another. We will see. We're all going to make our picks here, and it starts with mine. Greeny's NFL picks are brought to you by DraftKings. I give them to you every week. Super Bowl Sunday is no exception. Here we go. Here's what I think. There are very few hard, fast rules in Super Bowls, but one of them is this. Don't bet against the GOAT. The trouble is, in this game, that doesn't really narrow it down. Tom Brady's career stands alone, but Patrick Mahomes takes a backseat to no one. In fact, at this stage, he has more ways to win than Brady does. Yes, Tampa's defense could wreck the game against a banged-up O-line, but my money is on Mahomes to find a way. In the best quarterback matchup of all time, I'm calling for a classic. 37-34, Kansas City goes back-to-back, and Mahomes is once again the MVP. So that's what I think. I've been asking you what you think, and this is the Twitter poll that I have up right now at ESPN Greeny. 64% of those responding to my poll have Kansas City winning the Super Bowl, as I do. I'll keep that up through the radio show, so through noon Eastern time today. Some of those that you see regularly here on Get Up have made their picks. And where'd we get that picture of me, by the way? Booger McFarland has got the Bucks. Lewis Riddick has got the Chiefs. Jeff Saturday has got the Bucks. Ryan Clark has got the Chiefs. That's like my bar mitzvah photo. And so let's go on now and bring the rest of the crew in here, and we will see what they think is going to happen this Sunday. So you tell me who I go to first. Bart Scott. Who's going to win the Super Bowl Sunday?
I'll tell you what, Greeny, I really like in most rematches, I like the team that lost the previous matchup, because when you lose, it forces you to analyze everything that you did to contribute to that loss. When you win, sometimes the things that can make you lose get swept under the rug because you got the result that you wanted. I like Tampa Bay 31-27. I believe the GOAT gets it done. I think we're not making a big enough deal about the loss of the tackles for Kansas City.
That's another high-scoring pick. Again, the total right now is 56, 56 and a half. Who am I going to next? Orlovsky. Dan, who you got Sunday?
Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs until Patrick Mahomes shows me he can't get it done, Greeny. This is Super Bowl. They're the best coach team in football. They've got the best player in football. We're in an era where offense is dominant. They've got the most explosive offense that I have certainly ever seen. And I do think that a huge key is the reality that this defense is way better in Kansas City than people are giving it credit for. So Patrick Mahomes' ability to make plays and make the right play to win the rep when the defense kind of wins it, he's just such a special player. Too many weapons. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, too many weapons. But I think that the Kansas City defense rises up and makes a bunch of big plays and finally gets the national recognition that they deserve.
You mentioned yesterday that you think Edwards-Helaire is a sneaky, interesting pick as a dark horse for MVP. All right, Graziano, you've proven this week you know everything about Super Bowl's past. Give us your look at the Super Bowl future. Who's going to win?
Yeah, but I stink at this, game picks. Like, look, I have picked against the Buccaneers in each of their three postseason games so far, and as we know, they've won them all. So no more. I'm done picking against them. I am all in. I am picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What?
Shiver
Look
me
at this
timbers.
Legend.
Fire
yes,
the cannons.
Sir.
Whatever, man. I'm in. Tampa Bay 35-31. It is the Super Bowl.
Looks like a pirate.
Tom Brady's playing in it. Give me Tom Brady.
Is
I wanted
that
an eye patch.
Pirates of the
one.
Caribbean scarf that you have?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's the bandana he wears on
Disney
his Peloton
you get
rides.
These, the pirate night.
Oh, yeah. I love it. One more. Marcus Spears, yeah. Who you got?
Raj, you got to tell people when you're doing that so you can go last, man. I wanted that to be the end of it. Listen, G, I've been back and forth, man, like I was in relationships in high school. I just didn't know what girl I wanted to date, so I was friends with all of them. Here's the thing. I definitely have been on Tampa. Like, I've been on the Bucks. I've been texting Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes and Laura Rutledge all week. Like, y'all, I think I'm taking the Bucks. I'm not taking the damn Bucks, G. I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I'm going to the end. I said I picked against the Kansas City Chiefs one time this year, and they won by like 40 against the Dolphins when the Dolphins' defense was playing great and the Dolphins turned them over a bunch of times. And guess what happened? The Kansas City Chiefs won the game. I have never seen 15 offensive linemen out or not, receivers out or not, struggling on offense early in a long time in games. We can go back to last year's Super Bowl. I have never seen him not answer the bell. He going to answer it again on Sunday. I got the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I mean, the best thing I can tell you.
35-27? Go ahead.
Also over the, that would also be over the total. Now, maybe the best thing that we can tell you about this matchup here is just how split everyone's picks are. I mean, it really does have all the makings. One more thing I want to give you before we wrap up our portion of the Super Bowl coverage here, and that is, you know, while I hate to be that guy, I want to take you back to September 10th and something you heard right here on Get Up. Very quickly, I'll give you mine as well. I, too, have Kansas City winning the Super Bowl, but I have them beating Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I just buy. I buy into it in every conceivable way, primarily because that's a much better team than anyone else, I think, realizes, the Buccaneers I'm talking about. So I've got Tampa Tom at home, but I have him losing to Mahomes and the Chiefs. So, you know, fellas, you all know me well.
Let's go, G.
You know Dan Orlovsky. You know I hate
to be that guy.
Wait,
Greeny,
wait,
I know. I know exactly how this came up. So you guys are in the meeting at 6 o'clock this morning, and Ben Abeen or McKinnon and McConville's like, yeah, we're gonna do predictions. Greeny's like, you know what, guys? I just so happened to make a prediction on September 10th on Get Up, and I picked these two teams. Yep. Is there any way that we can somehow find that video of me making that prediction by any chance?
So you're suggesting that despite the fact I hate to be that guy, that I'm the one who actually called for that. Go ahead, Marcus.
Can I say, listen, this is how well we know Mike Greenberg. There's a line that's going to come that says, I won't be fully appreciated until I'm gone.
That is.
Well, that's right. Mine is that particular and unique genius that will not be fully appreciated until after my time. Graziano, you were in the meeting this morning. Did you hear anything like that?
Yeah, my issue is, I don't know what the policy is on questioning the host on the air, but I don't think you hate to be that guy. I think you might actually like to be that guy.
Paul, do you think I hate to be that guy?
I don't know.
He likes being right. You
Greenster
be right,
Dummies.
Listen, I'm wrong so often that every once in a while I deserve the right. Okay, awesome today. Everybody enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.